Can I smoke on this show?
Yes. That would be great, actually. It feels like
these walls have been stained by smoke. I know.
That's because you brought in L's. Those are the L's you're wearing on your shoulder.
I know. L, 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 L. All four of our team. When's the last time all four of our teams were coming off a loss? I went back to like 2011 to look it up, and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to keep going. But
oh,
it's
I
been
really
a long
didn't know.
Time.
Yeah. I mean, thank God Michigan didn't play this week because it was going to be four
right.
L's all
well,
across
I'm just
the
saying,
board.
They're all – each of our four teams' most recent games, all L's. Just eating L's left and right.
The Ryan Day era is looking suspiciously like the John Cooper era.
Oh,
so I'm going to say that's a bit of a mirror image. But as you know, all of college football right now is existing within the David Briggs era. He is a Toledo Blade sports columnist. I am your co-host and gabber, Phil Kaplan. And this is the Heart of the Rivalry. We have a special guest this week. Your homie, my homie, and Toledo Blade UT beat writer, Kyle Rowland. Are you excited to talk to him?
Absolutely.
How often do you talk to Kyle?
A couple times a day.
And yet, we're going to get all new information right now. Isn't that amazing?
Got to be in touch with our UT beat writer, man. That's our bread and butter.
Before we touch base on the mauling and Buffalo Stadium, let's just drop in real quick on what we saw as Ohio State went out to Oregon. And again, regardless of, boy, just like circumstances or the way the ball bounces, this seems to be the Ryan Day identity at this point. They could have won. You give them some breaks. Okay, that penalty on Jeremiah Smith was trash. But again,
there was
this
a penalty.
Has happened.
Yeah.
Trash penalty.
If
you're could have gone uncalled.
Could have gone uncalled. That's true. You mentioned John Cooper. In so many ways, this Ohio State football machine is rolling and as well oiled as ever. I mean, they're just absolutely loaded. Good coaching, other than when it gets to the biggest stakes. Amazing recruiting. Just everything in the Ohio State infrastructure is as good as any team in the country, and especially this year when you drop $20 million into a team expressly built to win it all and, of course, avenge those Michigan losses. And for perspective, $20 million payroll, which Ohio State athletic director has on the record said is the payroll, that's just not us speculating, is higher than the postseason payroll that the Tigers had, which was $19.5 million. So the Buckeyes are paying their team more than the Tigers paid for their postseason roster. So that tells you what the expectations are. All that being said, after Saturday, I think Ohio State is fine. I think they're still really good. I think they still have as good of a chance to win the national title as anybody. But like you said, there are bigger picture trends that are concerning. Ohio State's 2-7 under Ryan Day against top five teams. And when top five teams meet, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. That's sports. I mean, you taken on their own, most of these losses are not concerning. It's when you continue to lose year after year, the big game, when you think you are the 1%, and Ohio State very much is. And the other trend that's concerning is the defense. Craziest stat is that in their last five losses, Georgia, Missouri, the two Michigan losses against Oregon, Jim Knowles' defense has not forced a single punt in the fourth quarter. They're paying this guy $2 million a year to lock it down when it counts, and Ohio State just continues to collapse. Allow 496 yards to Oregon. They get no pressure from that all-star cast of defensive linemen. No sacks, two tackles for a loss, just completely unacceptable for the talent that Ohio State has on this roster and what Ohio State wants to do this year. So I think Ohio State is fine, but at some point Ryan Day's teams need to earn the benefit of the doubt and win these games.
If we back up and get perspective, it's not like they lost to Old Dominion.
Right.
Oregon's a top five team. They played like a top five team. You still would like to see the defense give up less chunk plays. Yeah. And the defensive line get pressure. Don't let the quarterback just sit back there. Not that they're not trying, but especially when it counts, those fourth quarter stat is brutal for Jim Knowles. That is brutal. All right, let's talk to Kyle about some other brutal, brutal mauling.
All right. Is he going to be
gonna
up here?
Pop up there.
Okay,
that's
sweet. That's awesome.
That's the idea.
Is he going to be in the room or is he here? Or both?
well, in the astral projection kind of way, he will be in the room.
Okay, cool, cool.
And that's what we're calling a Zoom meeting right now.
Should we look at the camera up here?
For the whole interview, I want you to look up there.
Okay. Okay.
Let's welcome Kyle Rowland. Have you sang yet?
No.
We missed your good
intro.
Kyle. We have a special guest on the Heart of the Rivalry. It is University of Toledo beat writer Kyle Rowland, who visited the beautiful Buffalo Stadium, which is not cursed for Toledo or in its own existence.
The worst stadium in the MAC?
I believe you are beating that drum. Kyle, you went there and saw Toledo surprisingly get smashed, or was it a surprise?
It was a surprise to me, because I thought they would for sure win. Pretty bad performance. I mean, the definition of laying an egg, I would say. Just from the get-go, out-coached, out-classed, out-hustled, out-mauled, if that's a football phrase. Offensive line has been a season-long problem. It showed up again in kind of the worst ways. But the defense, especially the rush defense, been great all year and really let Toledo down in a big way. They gave up, I think, 143 yards to Buffalo's running back, who he had 135 on the season coming into the game. Never good when someone doubles their season output against you. Kind of a weird thing with Tucker Gleason, the quarterback gets injured and Toledo then plays better with their backup. Just a bad day all the way around. I agree with Briggs, horrible stadium up there in Buffalo. And it truly is a house of horrors for Toledo. I mean, they're, I think, 1-5 all time at that stadium. It seems to just be a nightmare every time they go. They've lost in some really bad ways up there. And I think you could add last Saturday to the list.
Weren't you telling us that since the stadium has been built, Toledo has only won there once?
Yeah, one time.
One time since the stadium was erected against God's will, according to David Briggs.
It is the worst. I mean, not to beat a dead horse here, but it is the worst stadium in the MAC. I mean, there's a track around it. The stands are a mile away. They have these most bizarre stands in one of the end zones. It's like literally like 40 yards off the field. Like, I have no idea what they're for. Maybe for like so people can watch the turn leg in a high school track race.
Do you think it's a unique home field advantage in that teams hate playing there?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a unique home field advantage in that it's a long trip. So everyone coming in there is kind of coming to a long trip, a dead atmosphere. But we're getting off the plot here. No excuses for Toledo.
Well, Kyle, do you think that matters? I mean, when Toledo goes to play 100%. Buffalo, that's one of their longest road trips by time, not necessarily by distance. But you got to get everybody. No, they're not flying, right? They take the bus.
Yeah, I mean, no excuses. I mean, Toledo lost. If they had flown there, they also probably would have lost. But
that's fair.
But there's no doubt. I mean, both of these. I mean, Toledo's making the two hardest trips in the league back to back weeks at Buffalo, at Northern. They bus to both of those. It's 5 hours. I mean, it really is kind of equivalent to going to the West Coast because they're in this small confined area for a long time. I don't know. It was a noon game, so you're getting there Friday night and, you know, eating, going to bed, waking up. I mean, there's a reason why the East to West Coast trips in the Big Ten have been a major issue for the teams making the travel. In the NFL, obviously, they've had these stats forever about West Coast teams traveling East and East to West, how bad the records are. So I think it is a real thing. I don't necessarily think it's the reason why Toledo lost, but I think you have to factor in those kind of
There is some biological impact.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the Browns record when they go to Buffalo. That's got to be pretty bad. Even though they fly.
Isn't the Browns record when they go anywhere bad?
That's right.
You would say that it's bad. You mentioned that Toledo is going to NIU, and for years it seemed like Toledo couldn't get over the hump of NIU. That was their boogeyman in the closet. Is it Buffalo now?
Yes. Well, I think yes. I think if Northern wins Saturday,
it's still them and Buffalo.
Still a little bit them. But if Toledo wins, it'd be 3 straight and 4-5 against Northern. It'd also be 2 straight at Northern. They haven't beat them 3 times in a row since 2002, 2003, 2004, which is pretty crazy to think about. It's also insane I mean, I know Northern was exceptional when Matt Campbell was the coach, but I was looking it up today, actually. He was 0-5 against Northern Illinois. I mean, that Jason Candle actually, yeah. Jason Candle's 5-3 against
Northern. He also lost in crazy circumstances in a lot of games.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they completely choked in a couple of them. I mean, they were just completely mental, kind of like Ryan Day with Michigan.
Yeah, Jason Candle's the first Toledo coach to have a winning record against Northern since Tom Anderson.
And some better news and some exciting news in the maybe the name, image, and likeness department. The Rockets got a commit of one son of Barry Sanders. Not Barry Sanders Jr., but Noah Sanders. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great pickup for Toledo. I mean, this is a kid they really, really wanted. They were the first school to offer him. He actually visited here with his dad over the summer. Imagine walking around Toledo's campus and seeing Barry Sanders. To me, he seems under-recruited because it's not like Toledo's just taking a chance on him. Like, his stats are really good. He's performed well in camps. I'm a little surprised someone wouldn't take a chance on him, but I don't know if in the transfer portal era, you just, yeah, but who? I mean, there's plenty of small players that are good.
That he was, my friend.
I mean, so I don't know if bigger programs are just thinking, if he has a good year at Toledo, he'll want to transfer.
So we'll get you out of here on this. We understand the University of Toledo is trying to give Bowling Green some bulletin board material. They won't let the band kids come. They said it won't allow the band kids in. What's up with that? Picking a fight?
I think Briggs and I should talk about this for 30 minutes next week because we have just vastly different opinions on this supposed controversy.
Let's pick it up next week. Give us the synopsis right now.
The synopsis is... A month or two ago, Toledo reached out to Bowling Green and said, hey, we might have some issues at halftime. It's our Hall of Fame ceremony, and your band might not have time to perform. It didn't get worked out. Bowling Green shrewdly released a statement to get public support on their side. It was a very disingenuous statement, and that's kind of where we are now.
All right. We will pick that up next week. We will follow the bouncing ball and sing along with that controversy. Before we let you go, lay your reputation on the line, Toledo at NIU. Give us a Toledo wins by or loses by.
My reputation may be worried. I will say, until last week, I had predicted every game correctly in my preview. But
it's a trap game, Dave. That's what happens.
Northern Illinois has one of the best rush defenses and pass defenses in the country. So that makes you think. It makes you think this is a problem. It's on the road. It's a program that's good. They beat Notre Dame, but I actually really think Toledo's going to win. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think 23-19 might be what I predicted in the paper.
Rockets. Have points. We have style. We have context. Kyle, thanks for joining us on the Heart of the Rivalry. Our first ever guest, the first of many. We can't wait to talk to you again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You want to sleep? No. Okay, bye, Kyle.
Bye.
Okay, so you want to do the halftime segment for the BG band stuff?
Sure.
It's literally the halftime stuff.
Right.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to do this halftime segment where we go off the field. It's the segment is an allusion to the idea of the ancillary stuff that goes on in college football. But for this halftime segment, we literally go to the halftime performers. We got a band controversy?
Can you get any better than that for rivalry drama?
No.
Yeah. You guys have probably maybe read about this.
Stolen mascot head, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Toledo has informed Bowling Green's marching band that it will not have time to perform at halftime. Of the rivalry game. And I think that's probably happened before. I know it's happened before, but traditionally, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, or BG Toledo, the home band will play, and then the visiting band will also get a little bit of time at halftime. But Toledo informed Bowling Green's band that it will not have time to perform because of Toledo will be honoring their latest class of Hall of Famers. So I believe, you know, you know, Toledo will have a ceremony for them at halftime. Toledo's band will perform, and then there will only be a few minutes left over, and there won't be enough time for BG's band to perform. And my take is it's not a huge deal, but you know, Bowling Green has one of the best bands in the MAC. They have it's more than, I mean, I think they have 425 members in
They're
the band
big.
This year, which is crazy. And they have John Waters, who's the director, former director of Ohio State Marching Band.
They're
halftime,
phenomenal.
His halftime shows are awesome. Those are kind of his pride and joy. I understand why BG would be very upset at this. I think it's on Toledo's part. Again, I don't think they meant it to be disrespectful, but it just feels like an unforced error. I mean, the marching bands are a big part of the pageantry. Why can't you, I guess, just back up a little bit? You know, you have one visiting band traveling to your team, to your stadium all year. You have one band.
Your rival.
Yeah, your rival. You have one
You're
band.
You're basically in-town rival.
Right, right. And that band prides itself on its halftime shows. They have a very creative director. I think fans would probably, on both sides, would enjoy the show. Why is that the halftime that you absolutely have to have the Hall of Fame ceremony? The Hall of Famers absolutely should get their due. I mean, for all they've contributed to Toledo Athletics over the years.
You think they
people,
also love the BG rivalry and would want to
well,
see both
yeah,
bands?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But can't you do it? But if you have to do it on this game, can't you do that before the game? Or in the ultimate sign of rival respect, could Toledo not cede their spot and let Bowling Green's band perform? That might be a stretch, but it just feels like an unforced error to me. Just let them play.
Why not just extend the length of halftime by 10 minutes?
Yeah,
That's not the end of the world.
We don't need that. But
well,
I mean,
that
affects the game. And
Ohio
don't
State,
to, don't
Ohio
to,
State does this every year. They have alumni band day,
right?
And they do the script Ohio.
But they don't
on
extend
all four
halftime.
Sides. Are you sure?
I don't believe
that
so.
That feels
it's
like a longer
minutes.
Halftime.
Pro halftimes are 12 minutes. College halftimes are 20 minutes, and that's for the marching bands. So it's for the marching bands.
Make
it's
it
not
25
for
minutes.
Ceremonies.
Can't make it 25 minutes?
You could, but I mean, I just feel like there's a way you can honor the Hall of Famers in a respectful way.
One of
give
us
them
is
their
gonna
due.
Get thank you cards from BG. Let
Should be a
play.
Great game. Just let them play. Let them play. Let them play.
Let
them
play.
Play.
Isaac. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's
Don't
wrap
you think
this
that's
part
ridiculous?
Of the rivalry. Week 7 up.
Don't you think that's kind of ridiculous?
I do.
Kyle thinks it's a total non-story. He's totally in the tank for like Toledo's explanation.
Now we're going to just do this scouting report and get you out of here for another great weekend of college football. Ohio State is on a bye. Michigan goes to Illinois. What do you think?
I think it'll be a very ugly, black and blue, bruising game between two teams that just like to absolutely pound you. Good defense. I say that.
Classic fall weather.
I say that before Illinois just allowed 40 points to Purdue. So maybe Michigan gets things back on track here.
Toledo goes to scenic Rockport, Illinois to visit NIU.
DeKalb.
Sorry, DeKalb.
Rockport used to be the site of the MAC basketball tournament.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Okay. My apologies to beautiful DeKalb.
Yeah. It is it's a fine town. Been there. Yeah, we've probably covered that enough in our good conversation with Kyle, but I agree with him. I think Toledo will be ready. I'm not ready to predict a win, but I think it'll be a great game. Last week was more of an anomaly than a
slugfest. Toledo, hopefully they're mad about their own performance.
Yeah.
All right, BGSU hosts the winless Kent State Flashes, who just had like a crazy game that was on Van Pelt's bad beats. They just kept scoring touchdowns within like the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But they still lost.
So. Right. If BG can't get it on track against Kent State, then there's no hope for them. But there is hope for them. They will win, and they should take care of this pretty easily. If there's Kent State, God, I mean, are they the worst team in the country? They might be.
This will test my theory of BGSU playing exactly to its opponents.
Right,
we'll see what happens in this one.
All
right, another great episode of Heart of the Rivalry. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. We will see you next week. Hit it.